And welcome everybody on YouTube to Off the Hook Overtime and a continuation of Off the Hook. Yeah, did we all make it? Kyle, I see you're here.
I am.
All right. Rob, Gila, Alex?
We are here.
Okay. Where's Alex? Alex disappeared.
I'm here.
Okay, well, you're not visible anymore. Somehow we don't have video of you, but I hear you, so that's good enough. Did Emma make it?
I think she's...
I'm here.
Okay, great. So we're all here. That's amazing. And
you're all here. We're on YouTube. We're sounding good.
We can include listeners now. Apparently, we can all talk at the same time. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, we can't see you. I don't know if that's intentional or not.
You know what? Consider it a gift. Okay. I'm not sure why you can't see us, but you can't see us, and you'll have to live with that. But our listeners can get involved as well if they have any questions or things they'd like to share. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. That is our telephone number. And the toll-free number, if I get it right, 833-755-2600, correct?
That is correct.
Well done.
Okay. And Rob, you're supposed to tell me if we're on YouTube. Are we on YouTube? Is it working?
Yes, I had mentioned we're on YouTube. We're sounding good.
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. Did we have any...
See you.
No, we already went over that. He can't see us. I know.
No, but because you can't see it, because we can't see you, we don't know when we're talking over you until we're already talking over you.
We have ears. We can hear each other, right? We know when we're talking. Okay. Well, you know what? We can go over this later.
We can see you.
Yeah, that's the important thing. So do we have any other questions or comments for Emma while she's with us?
What inspires you, Emma, to keep at this kind of work? Because I can only begin to imagine the enormity of the task of keeping something like distributed denial of secrets going. And with you and your team that you've got there, like, just what keeps you at it?
So I mean, on the one hand, it's fascinating, and I love the things that I learn. I love the puzzle solving elements to it, of putting the different pieces together and having to, you know, figure out how to do new things every time we come into a new challenge. But also a lot of it is, if I stop, what happens then? You know, there's not enough other options out there right now, in terms of leak publishers. And there's too much work for everyone else. If I just stopped, it would literally not be fair and not sustainable to just put it on all of them. So it's kind of just necessity, because at this point it's, if not me, then who? And so until we get a slightly more enriched leaking environment, or, you know, we get some more people involved, it's just kind of a sense of obligation, because there's all this stuff that needs to get done.
Yeah, I like the sound of that, a more enriched leaking environment. That sounds like something to aspire to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, it should ever be just one group, you know. It shouldn't be just WikiLeaks. It shouldn't be just DDoS. It shouldn't be any one operating system. It shouldn't be anything. It should, you know, there should be all these different approaches and groups that offer different. It's just, we need more, because you get more options that way, you get a safer environment that way, and you don't have a situation where, oh no, one person got arrested, or, you know, a couple people got arrested, and now there's no more leaking organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have five active leaking organizations, and you know the FBI decides to do what they do and go after them for using the First Amendment, you know, they take one down, there's still four left. You know, as it is now, like, they went after WikiLeaks, and so now there's just DDoS.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're glad to be here, but we'd love some company.
Yeah, and being the only one is the total opposite of what you'd want. You want a proliferation of it just everywhere, and people working on transparency and organizing and coordinating with one another, and as you're requesting, curating it, really going through things and getting them to the right places.
Yeah, and that's also how you're going to get, you know, innovation. Because, like, we might have one, maybe two great ideas. You know, any one person or organization might have one or two great ideas. But beyond that, you know, how many times can you reinvent the wheel? You know, to have new ideas and contributions to technology or ways of doing things beyond that, like, you need more input, you need more approaches, and you need to put it together. And it's just, we need an actual ecosystem.
Yeah. And, you know, on that point too, Em, I'm wondering if you've, you know, thought about trying to create some kind of consortium type of relationships.
Did we lose Emma again? I think we lost everybody because everyone's frozen. Look at that. Wow. Okay, that's different. We weren't expecting that to happen. So I guess we're the ones that are lost. And maybe are we even broadcasting? Kind of strange how everything's going haywire. I guess I'll give out the phone number again, 802-321-4225, which is kind of pointless if I'm not broadcasting, or if our phone line isn't even connected. These are rough times, folks. Really, kind of strange. Can you update us, Kyle? What's happening?
I'm troubleshooting, but yes, you're correct. Everyone froze at once.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
It was very odd. We've never really seen do that. I am seeing our other live Kiev stream dropping, so perhaps...
Have we been disconnected from the net?
We're having connectivity troubles.
That's possible. Wow. I'm going to try to connect to something and see if it works at all.
Yeah, there's a couple amber lights here.
Really? Yeah, we're off the net. So wait, what does this mean? Am I talking to anybody? I'm talking to you, but this has never happened before. You have to wonder about the timing. Okay. I feel like cussing. I really do. I can as well, because I'm on YouTube.
It's because you asked me to talk about that thing. You were going to talk about that thing, and then I said no.
Well, I was asking if it was a good idea.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But usually...
Yeah. Now I see something on the screen. Are we connected again?
Yes, I think we're reconnecting.
Are we reconnecting? Okay. I think we're getting a phone call from one of our people here. Hang on a second. Alex, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. I have you up to the microphone. I have you up to the microphone now. We seem to have lost our connection.
YouTube lost our connection?
No,
what happened?
Public. Broadcast control. Wait, I hear Rob now. Where's Rob coming from?
Oh, no, wait, there they are.
They're on the screen. Hang up the damn phone. Called my cell phone. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I don't know what happened just now. We got cut. something cut us off for a second here at broadcast control. Everybody make it back.
We are here. We are all here. We were wondering what's up with you, and I do not. I think our YouTube might have dropped out.
Okay,
it will be back.
Well, it says it seems to think it's going. We only have a few listeners left though because we dropped out. But I think we're on. I mean, it doesn't say we're not. Yeah, there's a big red button that says end stream.
The YouTube is once again live.
Okay, we're back. We're sorry, folks. We had nothing to do with this, but something cut us off right at the heart of our control. You guys just kind of froze on the screen there. And Emma's back, too. Okay, so we're all back. So, Kyle, I think you were the last one who said something, right? You were talking about, what were you talking about? About the importance of having multiple.
Yeah, as many different types of platforms, people working to support infrastructure or being a liaison between journalists or you know, trying to run their own system or help other people like DDoS secrets that are working really hard to organize and make this stuff available, hosted or whatever people can do. We're just talking about having options and how that's better because it's, you know, people can specialize, they can
or help other people like DDoS.
I'm sorry, that's my fault. I brought something up on the window there. That was you.
There isn't any one point of failure because there's a whole ecosystem of people doing it.
Unlike what you just heard now, where there was a single point of failure.
That was a point of failure.
Yeah, that's an example of what can happen if you don't have redundancy. we'll work on that. But Emma, I'm kind of curious what you folks think of utilities like SecureDrop, where any publisher can basically receive leaks in a supposedly secure manner. Is that something that you've looked into at all?
SecureDrop is great from a technical perspective. It's not always feasible for everyone to deploy the recommended way because of the physical security requirements, which involves like watching it with a camera, being able to review it, having it in a cage, all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Multiple steps for removing data from it and reviewing it, which I think requires an extra two laptops, which are dedicated to basically that. And I believe there's additional limits on it, such as 500 megabyte uploads, which can be great for establishing contact. And let's be honest, for most newsroom uploads, 500 megabytes is going to be sufficient. SecureDrop is great for a lot of things, and it's certainly secure. The one bad thing I can say about it is it has a maximum file size, last I knew, and sometimes you have to split up files for it, I guess.
Yeah, that's
not that hard.
It's not that difficult, and if you can do all the other security requirements, that should be the least troubling of them all. But yeah, I agree with that assessment. It's certainly serious, and it is secure. It is effective, but it's not for everybody. And organizations like yours are so invaluable for people who have access to information that want to get it out to the rest of the world. And again, having multiple organizations that are dedicated to doing this all throughout the globe, that is so important. Have you worked with other organizations, or are you just aware of their existence and everybody's is just kind of living in a mutually semi-rebellious landscape?
I mean, I had encounters with WikiLeaks in the past. It's best left buried.
Okay. We can say WikiLeaks started the conversation. I think that's a fair way to describe it. But
yeah.
That kind of distracting in many ways.
Encounters with WikiLeaks in the past, it sounds like a soap opera.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, God. My new telenovela is writing itself.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a big fan of a lot of the stuff that Maya, then known as Tilly, was releasing before they got indicted and raided. You know, unfortunately, since the indictment and the raid, they have been sticking to streaming on Twitch and making music and posting adorable memes, which I also love. But the leaking community lost one that day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if John Young and Deborah, I don't know if Cryptome still...
I believe Cryptome.org, I believe, is still there. That's the site that just will never go away. they survive everything.
They're still there. I just don't know if they leak anything anymore. They're more just an archive and a library of like very interesting documents.
But, well, there's a place for that as well then.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if anyone listening has something interesting that they want to send to Cryptome, I'm sure they would post it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's count it.
There's certainly enough places for people that find interesting documents and information. There's certainly enough places for them to share that. And I think it's just important that they know what these places are. Is there a clearinghouse that sort of lists where people can contribute items, or is it pretty much up to the individual to discover these?
SecureDrop has a registry somewhere of news outlets that use their software, which I know makes it very easy to find like safe ways to submit to the right outlet, so you can go through and find someone that is either like the right subject matter or the right region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on there too, and it's alphabetical, so we're first. That works. We're a number, 2600, so it's kind of cool in that regard. But I meant organizations like yours. If somebody, say, in some far part of the earth didn't know where they could send something, how do they find out that these organizations, in addition to SecureDrop, exist?
Hmm. No, I don't think there's any collection like that right now. And honestly, I'm not sure what else would go on it other than DDoS and the SecureDrop list. Mm-hmm. I mean, WikiLeaks' submission is still not working. That's been down for a couple of weeks, and their secure chat has been down since last year. So, you know, you pretty much can't submit to them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the way that Anonymous reveals things?
How do you mean?
Well, they don't have a specific site, as far as I know, that does what you do. Yet they mm-hmm. they have a lot of documents that do get released on torrents. And I'm just wondering if they're if they can be considered a leaking organization as well, or more of an activist type of a group, because what they do is different. They seem to be more getting their hands dirty in a lot of this, and less thoughtful about what it is that they're actually going to be releasing or leaking.
I don't know that I would call them an organization, because mm-hmm. there's very little organizing and organization for the most part.
Right.
You're talking about a lot of loose-knit people that share a name or some targets, but, you know, they're not having planning sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the IT army is in a way more organized than traditional Anonymous. So, I mean, there are some commonalities in how they behave and their MO. Like, a lot of them are script kiddies, which is not necessarily a bad thing in this kind of situation. or they use, you know, simple ways of getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would really hesitate to classify Anonymous as an organization.
Yeah, it's for lack of any other word. I didn't really know how to refer to them. A loose-knit organization
loose organization.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's just it's a fascinating culture because everyone is out there trying to get information and supposedly on the same side of justice, which I find to be incredible. What we've learned so far just in the last few weeks has been incredible and quite harmful to the people that are up to no good, the people who are, invading Ukraine and causing all kinds of death and suffering.
Yeah, I think it's especially interesting in light of, you know, for a couple of years, there was this idea that went around in articles and a little bit on Twitter with the whole Anonymous is dead thing. You know, Anonymous doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you give Anonymous a big cause. And we saw that a little bit with Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wish we had seen it a bit more there, but that was, you know, more limited to the U.S. But now it's a global thing. It's gotten much more attention, and it's kind of just occurred to everyone that, like, hey, it's mess up Putin time. And so everyone's digging out their mask and, you know, or making their first one, and, you know, they're doing things that they didn't have a reason to do for a long time. And, you know, I think that there's a big distinction that we're seeing now between, oh, you know, this kind of activism is gone or no longer a thing, versus this just isn't its moment.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when it is, it scales.
Yeah.
Anonymous scales, I think is what we're saying.
That's good. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, the biggest thing I've been saying about Anonymous is that it is kind of its biggest strength is also its greatest weakness, in that it is not really a group as such. It's more of a banner that anybody can apply to anything that they want to do. And so, mm-hmm. like, if a crowd on some forum somewhere decides to, you know, do something for this one particular cause and label it Anonymous, then it's Anonymous. And I think the general feeling about it is that people who don't understand this think of Anonymous as, like, one big shady group that's, you know, doing Mr. Robot stuff behind the scenes, and it's all very Hollywood. But really, like, you, I, or anyone listening could start an Anonymous operation right now, and it would be just as valid as any other one. But what that the strength of that is that, you know, you could put stuff out there, and if it gathers moss and more people throw in on it, then it becomes a big thing, like Anonymous's work in support of Black Lives Matter, or, you know, going further back, their big efforts against the Church of Scientology and things of that nature. I think for every big viral one, there's got to be a zillion little ones that just never went anywhere.
You know, I think it's fascinating because we seem to land on the same side of justice more often than not. Like, there's a lot of evil in the world, a lot of evil people in the world, but when you have something like the current situation going on, people feel, for the most part, a genuine sense of outrage, and that's why you have situations where people just kind of self-organize and are doing the same thing, the same basic goal. Is to mess up the oppressors, the evil people, and to reveal the truth and to embrace freedom and justice. And, you know, it sounds simple, but it's something we have to be reminded of every now and then.
And people have incredible passion. I've never seen in such unlikely places, and just the resolute and confident feeling of doing what they can, doing whatever it is they might be able to do to help. specifically because of the current crisis, but it's a great reminder of how powerful individuals can be.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to reach out to some individuals now because we haven't gotten any phone calls yet, and I know we've had some difficulty. And by the way, those of you listening on YouTube, since we had an outage in the middle, the archive of this show, if you listen to the archive, you probably didn't hear the whole thing. Of course, there wasn't much going on. It was just basically us saying what happened to the internet. But if you want to hear that, if you want that part of the show, you'll have to get that from our site, 2600.com, the off the hook section, as opposed to YouTube, which only saves what YouTube hears. Our phone number is 802-321-4225. I do believe we're getting a call. maybe we could turn down that ring just a tad because, boy, it's loud. And obviously somebody is on the phone now, but if you call afterwards, you'll get through too. But let's see who got through this time. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
You can barely hear us. We can okay. Well, we can either hear a horrible tone or we can hear you very dimly. How about everyone just shout? I think that's sort of the theme.
Yeah, this is Philip from Missouri. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Nah, I'm hanging in there. I'm just watching this trucker stuff. They keep live streaming everything. Apparently today they
yeah. Oh, there we go. That's fair. They went downtown, right? And they got all the exits blocked off. One of them apparently got arrested. The cops were running by one truck during the live stream to arrest somebody. But, they just like, they want to blame all the cops now. The whole idea of them, you know, jamming up traffic by closing off all the off ramps and everything. You know, they want to start that off in the cops as a bad thing, but it's kind of their idea to do it, so I don't know. But did you hear about the gamer, the streamer on Twitch, who was playing Return to, I can't remember the name of it, it's some kind of survival game, a war survival game. He was like, he was living in Ukraine. And he escaped with his family and so forth using what he learned in the game. Like, he was able to calculate how far a shell was falling near him and everything. I guess because the sound engineering's really good in games now. You can do that now.
Well, Rob's nodding, so I think he heard of it.
Yeah.
I did see that story go by. I don't know the details, but it is interesting, yeah.
Yeah. The truckers are kind of doing some weird stuff now. They're kind of.
Are they still out there? The trucker convoy? That's still a thing?
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you go to the Raceway's website, they have a race coming up this weekend on the 19th.
Which Raceway is this?
Hagerstown.
Hagerstown, right? Okay, in Maryland.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're selling tickets to a race this weekend. Well, the organizer, the one named Brian, he's just like up and say, well, I'm gonna disappear for a while to see my family and stuff like that. So it's kind of making me wonder if they're just gonna leave these guys high and dry one day, like really soon. The other organizer, Mike Landis, he, like I said before, you're like a pled guilty to fraud. I sent you. I'm trying to slice up a video where they were talking about the books they bought using donation money.
Okay.
I saw they emailed it to you. But yeah, it's just they're acting weirder than usual. Some Proud Boys are showing up.
Oh, that's not surprising. What I can't figure out is what is it that they're protesting? They're driving around circles on the Beltway, and the mask mandates are pretty much disappearing. Yeah. What is it exactly? Who are they mad at exactly?
I don't know anymore. It's just, you know, also, you know, they keep complaining they can't take their trucks downtown to the mall and everything. Why can't they just park in like Alexandria and catch the subway down?
Well, don't give them ideas. Then they'll be all over the place. But yeah, good question.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't know, it's so shady, it's not even funny. I mean, you got people sleeping in their cars with their kids now, and in tents, and it snowed over the weekend, and, you know, the food habits have expired. it's just, I kind of want these guys to get busted for something real bad, because they just, like the cops today, like that one guy, Sasnik, he was like, well, the cops are our friends and everything like that, and he decides to stop in the middle of the road and just gets out of his truck so he can do, like, a streaming scene and, you know, do a selfie or whatever, you know, show off. And a little bit later on, the cops come by with them stopped in the middle of the road, and they start waving them on, right? It's like, and the cop got kind of frustrated with it because he wouldn't move. He said, and the cop, he said, well, move on, move on. And as soon as, since the truck started moving, he started cussing out the cops. So, you know, the whole Blue Lives Matter thing only matter when they're not getting in trouble over something.
Well, we learned that on January 6th, that's a farce.
There are a couple more popped up. There was a dude named Defender of Ants.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by Scotty. He totally flipped out on Saturday and did a live stream where he was like going down the road like 90 miles per hour. He said something about the snow and Antifa, and that he ran into the gas station to get some gas, and there was like National Guard members there. And he totally tripped out and jumped in his car and just started speeding down the road, saying a bunch of weird stuff about like they were shooting people at the raceway.
Okay, well, you know, there's a bunch of mass hypnosis and craziness going on down there. I don't, you know, yeah, I'm content to just sort of hear about it on the news, but yeah, I don't really need to follow their every movement.
Yeah, he said that he was a part of the January 6th stuff,
uh-huh,
but he didn't go in, and he got real paranoid because the GPS kept saying turn left here and stuff like that, so he started making real loud noises to cover it up instead of just muting it.
Uh-huh.
It's just a comedy of errors, and they think when they, you know, like today there's like a big roadblock, there's a traffic jam because there's like a wreck, there's like a streetcar pile up or something like that, and they were all happy about it and proud of it, and they closed off the lane so an ambulance couldn't get through, and like and all this other stuff. It's just it's like 16-year-olds running around with the loudest thing you could think of. And it doesn't make any sense because there's nothing to complain about, really.
Oh, there's plenty to complain about, but they're at the top of the list, probably. And, you know, if they stay out of other people's way and just, you know, do whatever they're doing, camping out in their trucks or whatever, fine. But if they're going to start intimidating those around them or just making things uncomfortable or unpleasant, that's where I think the rest of us should draw the line.
I tried to, you know, look up some information on the website, see who owned it and everything. And there's an LLC that was set up in Arizona called Secure Domain or something like that. And it's been running through that. So you can't go who is. So I'm going to try to go into Linux later on and dig something, see what happens. See if they got any, like, mail servers or something attached to it. But, you know, it's just, I mean, it's like, it's hours, it's literally hours of doing, you know, waking up, putting your phone on the table, just dressing and everything, and then going to their cars and, you know, sitting and idling in the parking lot until, you know, it's time for the meeting. And, they like to frame everything so it looks like there's more people than there really is.
Yeah, that's I've seen that tactic before in certain places.
Yeah, there's other streamers who's not really into it, so they walk around the outside of the group. You can see maybe there's like, I don't know, I don't even think there's 100 people there today.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, 18-wheel truck, you know, that's one person, it still looks like something big. And you have 20 of those, and it's still just 20 people, but it's going to take up a whole lot of space.
Yeah, and if you angle it right, you can make it look like there's a big row of them because they're so big.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
intimidation. You know, they make noise. They're imposing. They're loud. you know, and just obnoxious. But it's not reality. It's not what the rest of us believe in.
Well, you know, at least they haven't broken any real laws yet, mm-hmm. you know, that I know of. But, you know, when you got white supremacists showing up in your live feeds, like, you know, the Proud Boys and stuff, and flat earthers for some reason are showing up for this thing now. They're trying to get a motorcycle group started up, and they want to go back to the States and start it up in the States.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, they're kind of shooing away people now. It's like, make sure you go back to the States and make sure you get everybody organized for the capitals, state capitals. And it's just, you know, I think the next couple of days is going to be interesting because, you know, you got Saturday where they're supposed to start bringing these race cars in. Like, they're like mini racers, whatever you call them, midget cars, right? And it's a dirt track, so I just think the organizer's about to leave his guys on the truck.
Well, you know, I can always find a parking lot somewhere. I'm sure there's no shortage of those.
Yeah.
We're going to try and take more calls. Any closing remarks?
No, I hope you have a good night.
All right. Good hearing from you.
Bye.
Take care. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Anyone out in Skype land have any comments?
The thing about the truckers is, like, you know, okay, every person there is driving something that is big and attention getting, and the whole thing has been a ploy for attention, basically, for a very small group that wants to be very loud and noisy and take up space. And so it is disproportionately represented. And I think there might be rumblings among that crowd of, like, how much news time the war in Ukraine is taking from them.
The right. Truckers are basically the ultimate in man spreading. Just
well said.
Absolutely.
We have another phone call. Hopefully, I can put this one on without making horrible noise. Okay, so far I've done it. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
There's no horrible noise. It's not like when you call WBAI and it goes when you answer the phone.
well imitated there. So we're making a horrible noise like BAI does.
No, you don't make a horrible WBAI when you call them. When you used to call them mm-hmm. in the old, I guess in the 90s or when you had the old phone system, that's the noise it would make when you answer the phone.
Okay.
When that's the noise that the callers would hear.
That's a noise you would hear more than anyone, Rebel, because you called us more than anyone.
Right. And I could also imitate the old way, you know, when crossbar switch used to return and collect the coins.
You can imitate that? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, with the do-do being the dial tone, of course.
Rebel, will you submit a talk proposal to Hope and do that for an hour? Just different switches, and because
what I'd like to see at Hope is old text terminals, like data entry terminals.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody should bring that to Hope. You know, like those retro computer.
We can allocate an entire room for that if people are interested. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, retro computers, text terminals, data entry terminals, like retro computers, and I could also entertain electronic switching when you call on a payphone when it returns the coin.
Go ahead. I think that one needs a little work, but you definitely got the gist of it, I think.
Yeah. You know, I just like to mention that every store, like the places that you go to, they have their own radios, not radio station, but like when you go to Dunkin' Donuts, it says, oh, you're listening to Dunkin' Radio. They don't have the regular radio like on like I-97 or whatever radio station is. They have Dunkin' Radio. And then, or if you go to like Sonic Drive-In, it says, "This is Sonic Radio." I mean, like, hello.
Well, because it's basically an iPad or an iPod rather, playing music and somebody saying that in between songs. It's not hard to do. You could do it yourself.
Yeah, this makes me think of gas station TV.
Oh my god, I hate that so much.
And isn't that annoying?
Yeah, it doesn't Starbucks have like albums they sell for like their playlists
But it doesn't say Starbucks has their own thing, but they don't have a Starbucks channel that when you hear it. Just like when you go to Foot Locker, you know, you see they play the TV music videos, but it's not MTV. It's the Foot Locker channel or it's something.
Foot Doctor channel.
Foot Locker.
Or something like that. Or
okay.
Whatever.
Everybody call their local cable company and demand to have Foot Locker channel carry.
I like the Journeys channel, you know, like when you go to Journeys shoe store or whatever.
Sadly,
we need
can
like Corvettes and Woolworths Jack and you know like
hang on, go ahead. Sorry, Reb, I'm gonna turn it down for a second. Go ahead, Emma.
I can confirm that Starbucks actually does have its own Spotify channels.
You know, I'm curious about that because
insider information. I cannot say more.
I hear music when those occasions where I've been in Starbucks. I hear music and I wonder, is that same music playing in all the Starbucks? And it's not. No matter how fast I drive, I can't make it from one Starbucks to another and get the end of the same song. So I'd have to get somebody in a different Starbucks and ask them. But I haven't gotten to that stage yet.
They're fixed playlists
for each one.
They can pick a little bit, but yeah, there's not, you know, it's like choosing between ham and rye and ham and Swiss.
Interesting. Wow. You know, I had to get an MRI once, and what's that company called? Zwanger Pessori or something. They have ZPTV. It's just like a channel they have. I don't know who came up with this idea of just not playing one of the silly channels like Home and Garden TV, but coming up with their own.
You're telling me the radiologist has one of these too?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's in on it.
Who sits at their doctor's office and is entertained by that?
Well, I can tell you who sits at the doctor's office and is looking for the remote so that they can turn to anything else. Oh, in fact, I've taken to carrying a remote with me because, you know, around here people get the same cable company, so the remote is going to work. And I just, you know, casually change the channel and nobody knows.
I had a doctor that the TV just showed. It was a slideshow of his vacation photos. It was so insulting, and like I'm sitting there like I don't feel good. I'm not okay, and you're showing me your trip with your family to the beach, and I'm glad you had fun at Barbados, but I feel like I'm gonna yak on your floor.
Wow. That's a system that has to be hacked and certain photos inserted that make people run for the remote. Rebel, did you have any other reveal to us?
It's like TV be gone.
Uh huh.
You know, but it's like you're carrying it. That's a good idea. Carrying a remote that's a good idea because when you when I tried going to places and turning the TV or changing it, it's so complicated. You can't do it on the TV. You have to find the box of the cable box and that's come like hidden somewhere and. You know, just come like unplug the TV or something.
It can be hidden, but it can also be in plain sight. But you know, the cable company, DirecTV, a lot of places use Rokus now, and the Roku remote you can install different channels on their Roku and just go, you know, to your heart's content, see all kinds of interesting things.
A universal remote that it has one button and it just turns off. All TVs.
Uh-huh.
It just runs through the power off button for all the codes, and it might take like a couple seconds, but it'll turn off the TV, and it's a godsend, especially if you have to go through like airports or you just hate noise.
That's our friend Mitch Altman. His TV be gone. That's what that is, and it's an incredible device. We have used that on buses going uptown in Manhattan, turning off TVs in bars as we go past them. So it's a ton of fun. I'm not sure how effective it is these days.
That's my kind of evil.
Uh-huh. It does cause civil unrest at times. Rebel, anything else from you?
Yeah, the... I forgot.
Oh, dear.
The MTV doesn't play music videos anymore.
You could have said that 25 years ago, and it would have been accurate.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like the cable. Let's see, what else? I don't know, I guess that's it. You know, what else?
Rebel has run out of things to say. This has never happened before.
It's bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was just trying to pick. There's so many things.
There's so many things, yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's so many things. So there'll be a 2600 meeting in April at the Citicorp Center.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, I think Rob knows something about that as well, right, Rob? Except the two of you can't talk at the same time because neither one of you hears each other. So, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens the first Friday of every month. We do meet in person at the Citigroup building where New York City 2600 meetings of old happened. We're back there. It's a remodeled space. It's very nice. And for those not into going in person, we also still do a virtual alternative meeting that is over Zoom. So if you prefer to stick with that, we still have that. But we're doing things in person for as long as it's safe and responsible to do so.
Does everybody at the 2600 meeting in person look at the Zoom people, or is it just the Zoom people looking at other Zoom people and the physical people just are in their physical presence?
Sometimes people will try and peek in on the Zoom from the live meeting, but we found that because of the space and how acoustics work, if you connect to the meeting on Zoom from the physical meeting, there's immediately so much noise that it drowns out the Zoom meeting for all the other Zoom users. So, you might see people peeking in on mute, but you can't really maintain a two-way connection between the two. We have tried. It was sad, but we still have the two, I think, going as kind of separate concerns.
Well, it's good to see things start coming back to normal, and hopefully they continue to come back to normal. Rebel, we're going to say goodnight to you, unless you have some other bit of wisdom to share with us.
It's right down by in the atrium, right by the payphones, and then we go out to around the clock afterwards.
No, hold on a second. None of those places are still there. Around the clock went out of business many years ago, and I miss those days so much.
Yeah, and then there used to be payphones that we used to play with.
Payphones, yeah, all sorts of little devices, new computers coming out.
Data entry terminals.
But this is a great time to find new places, start new traditions, see what places are still around.
Yeah, Hotel Pennsylvania being torn down as we speak.
And misbehave in all kinds of other ways.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Rebel, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Hotel Pennsylvania, I just saw it. It closed, and I guess they're going to take it down and build an office building.
So they haven't actually started the demolition process yet, right? I mean, right. The outside demolition.
Yeah, but why do they need more office buildings? Everybody
they don't. It's greed. That's what it is. It's we certainly need a hotel like that, but...
yeah, but who's going to work in it? Then nobody's going to fill it.
Exactly. No, instead of having thousands of people... seeing New York, you'll have a handful of people making money, and that's it. That's what New York will be. You know, I heard about this white hat hacker named Gummo, who revealed he owns more than $7 billion in Bitcoin. You know, Gummo, if you're out there, we don't ask for much, but you know, if you have that much money, buy the damn hotel, and you could save it. You could save it personally. Call it the Gummo Hotel. That'd be kind of cool, and it would make money too. It's not like you would be losing. Or just, you know, something. We could probably win the war in Ukraine. It's all sorts of things. If you have that kind of money.
Is there a way to scam Bitcoin so that you can make like much money?
Scam Bitcoin? Those two words should never be together.
I don't know. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Mm.
We could help, like, navigate the hotel if anyone needs, like...
I don't know about that. I'm not sure how many floors are left or if they've done...
Well, there's a couple places we might remember.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I need to take a look. If anyone out there has seen it recently, let us know, because we're not in that part of town often. OTH at 2600.com. Rebel, good hearing from you, as always. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I've been to the hotel fairly recently.
How recently?
I mean, it just looks like it's being emptied out. You know, no demolition on the, on the actual structure itself. But... yeah, there's not much activity. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
they've emptied it out. They've sold off the fixtures and things, and I think they're now at the stage where, you know, they haven't put up scaffolding around it yet or any of that other stuff they would need to safely demolish. But yeah, it's a process.
Wow. All right. Shall we hold out for one more phone call? And I don't want to keep Emma too long either. Because most of these phone calls have nothing to do with denial of secrets.
Yeah, I
secrets.
Think we have another 10 minutes. We can take a call. You have that number again?
Eight. Well, should I give it out? The phone's ringing. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Go ahead. You can pick it up. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up.
Hi. My name's Dennis, and I'm a retired mainframe kind of dinosaur guy.
Oh, wow.
And I live in a retirement community, and I'm kind of interested in some sort of grassroots effort I can get others to make to support Ukraine. And I came across something, squad303@mail.1920.in, which would allow a user to simply click and send an email to somebody in Russia and just simply declare what it's like across on this side of the ocean and maybe in the free world in general. That site seems to be down. Do you have any news? Has it been nefariously corrupted, or maybe it's overrun? Comment?
Well, does anyone here have information on that site or has heard of that site before? Emma, we'll start with you.
No.
Okay. Alex, no?
I have not.
Okay. Rob, are you shaking your head? I haven't.
No, I am not familiar with it, but as with any anything's as with anything in a moment like this in history, where there's a lot of people looking for ways to help with something, I'm sure there are very many sort of scams and shady individuals who have popped up with all sorts of things to try and get money that people think they're sending to somewhere helpful. So I would just encourage the caller and anyone else to fully vet these things as to the extent possible, and make the wisest decisions you can as to how you're helping and where you're sending money, and make sure you're actually sending it somehow to an organization or individuals that can literally help.
And it may be that it was stood up quickly in a scramble as being, you know, a grassroots and a quick effort, the kind of thing that you're interested in helping out with or being involved with. So they may need some help. They may have.
It's cheered upon by the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Okay, that's
interesting.
And,
now,
yes, I.
So they've done some reporting on it.
Yeah, my disclaimer on it, if I sent it out, is basically sure, there's 120 million email addresses. However, there may be some bad guys in those email addresses.
Of course.
And please don't send money. This is only about Radio Free Europe, about propaganda, about delivering information.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I assume you send out an email, and is it translated into Russian, or you're assuming that they...
It comes up in Russian, and you can just click translate and
okay.
See what the English is. They have some prepackaged emails
mm-hmm.
that you can just click and send. Now, I haven't successfully gotten one back. I assume at some point a Russian, if they were so, if they were brave enough or foolish enough, would respond.
Mm-hmm.
But be very careful with that too, for obvious reasons. But certainly, if it's coming from your email, or maybe an email that you have control over, just maybe a temporary one you made specifically for this project, you may get some replies or interesting return mail and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess in my little world, it was much bigger than it is in the real world.
Well,
it's the case with many things.
It's an interesting thing to try. Can you give us the address one more time, and we'll definitely check into it.
Okay. It would be, you could keyword search, squad 303 are the people who did it, and https mail.1920.in or just simply 1920.in. And they go through Cloudflare. I mean, there's a wall there. And I sent an email to y'all a little bit earlier today with some of the specifics in it. But I'm getting error code 552, which is basically the far side timed out.
Okay, I'm reading about this now. And apparently, it's a Polish hacker group that started this.
Correct. Yeah, and it has a wonderful history of, you know, way back when, where they got the Squad 303, and anyone who read DOTH 2600 would probably find a little joy in that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, most definitely. This is the kind of thing that, you know, we live for. This is, you know, a way of just reaching out randomly to people and getting the word out, and hopefully it has some effect.
Yeah, and you know, I went to Cyber South Coast Cyber Summit, and you know, one of the things I brought up a lot is with the scams and things coming around that it's going to escalate. They talked about it's going to start hitting lower income individuals more and more, and I just said, hey, wait a minute, what about us seniors? We're getting older every day. And we're getting a little more naive or childlike every day. And we are definitely hot spots for scammers, you know, anything, phone, mail, you name it. And I help people that are victims, you know, best I can on a daily basis. And, you know, they acknowledged, yeah. But I guess the battle's much bigger for them, the government and the military, than looking out for a few senior citizens. But the nice thing about my comment is I can always close it with, well, you're becoming one of us. Just a matter of time.
Interesting. Interesting words to end on. Thank you so much for your call. And
you're very welcome, and thank you all for broadcasting.
All right. Take care.
Evening.
Interesting call. Interesting interesting information there.
Yeah, I'm struck. It's interesting how when the emergence of the internet was taking hold, there was this huge crisis that we came to know of as the digital divide, where you would have people that really had no idea how computers worked, and maybe they were much older, and it just had to basically, by leaps and bounds, do all of this uptake of learning equipment and accounts and protocols and these things that for others came quite naturally as it emerged. Well, I don't think that's as much the case. I would just caution to not exaggerate that too much, because there are a lot of computer users, maybe even computer user groups in some of in care homes and so forth that can do their own organizing. So I'm sure we'll see more of that kind of hacktivism and interest groups.
I just like that people everywhere are thinking about this, thinking of ways to help and to contribute and
share
like
knowledge.
That.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have another phone call. This will be the last one.
Yeah, I believe they're connected. Yes.
All right, you're the last phone call. Go ahead.
Good evening, overtime.
It's Bobson from Bulgaria. Welcome.
Exactly, sir.
Well, you have an awful lot of refugees in your country now from Ukraine.
Yeah, how's it going?
Well, I haven't met any yet.
But you have to go outside to do that.
But go out what?
You say you don't go outside very often, so, you know, that's where you meet them, outside.
Well, yeah, that's true also. Hey, what is this I heard on the news about your Congress folks trying to vote DST as the permanent situation?
Yeah, they have kind of a swell head over there. They think they can control time, and they're going to try and make daylight savings time permanent.
Yeah, that's kind of bothersome. I was happy that the EU got rid of DST. Good.
Yeah, EU already did this. EU did the opposite, though. They embraced standard time and they got rid of daylight savings time.
Exactly.
Yeah, here they want to get rid of standard time and embrace daylight savings time. So
yeah, which is silly, but what can I say?
And it means there'll be an extra hour between us, right? Instead of it being 3:30 in the morning or whatever time it is now, it'll be an hour later, right?
Well, we're still on standard time, and you recently got into, you sprung forward recently in recent days, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so this would be the default time setting then, whatever it is now.
Well, it's not yet 3 a.m.
Okay, so it's a little earlier than usual. Last week, it would have been an hour later for you.
Yeah, because the show started 1 a.m. tonight over here. Radio show, which usually does gets to be 2 a.m. But, oh well.
So this makes things a little easier for you calling us.
Well, I don't think it's easier in any way, but... Well, yeah, maybe.
I just get the impression that later it gets that you slow down a little bit more, you know, and earlier would be you'd be more, you know, awake.
Well, that depends on the situation as things may go, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
I think Alex has a question for you. Go ahead, Alex.
Actually, it's more of a suggestion. I think we should do an experiment here. That Bobson and Revel should switch time zones for a couple of weeks, and then we get to see what the difference is in their personalities. I'd love to see Revel when he's this tired. I mean, you couldn't have more of a different type of energy on the line, right? I mean, Rebel seems like he needs to switch to decaf at some point, you know, after 8 p.m. And poor Bobson has been up in the middle of the night. I want to see what these guys are like if they switch time zones.
Or maybe we switch time zones. Maybe we're on in the morning, our time, so, you know, it's Bobson's peak time and Rebel's still asleep.
Or we could do the show from Bulgaria.
Or we could do that.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
You're welcome to come over here for the show, but the radio situation might be a bit tricky to set up.
Maybe, but do you have enough room for us?
Well, there's plenty of livable hotels in town, so...
Oh, wow. Okay. that was cold? Okay. Well, wow. You know, it's not likely to be able to fit all, plus the entourage and all. It'll be a lot of people and, you know, equipment that we drag in. So it probably is best that we either rent a site or you know, find, a large area that we could hang out in.
Well, this is
also
an option. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We will. Any other observations, Bobson? Because we're getting tired, too.
Oh, well, thank you for the great show tonight. And I'll look into the Russian leaks and see what I may be able to assist with.
Yes, there's always something. I'm sure you can find something.
Interpreting things, absolutely. Expertise is all around us.
Oh, well.
Okay. Bobson, always great to hear from you.
Have a great evening, everybody. Right.
You too. And for that person who is about to call in, don't, because we're not picking up the phone anymore. We're done with phone calls. Kyle, you have what looks like a check there. What's this all about?
I didn't even think I would have time to bring this up, but I got my settlement.
You got a settlement?
Yeah, the sales tax litigation.
Oh, that
with
came,
AT&T.
That came through. AT&T, the big thing. Okay, yeah. Tell us about it.
I've been waiting a while for this.
Who hasn't?
This is, it's been a long time coming. Basically, if you use a specific type of data plan in the service area that I was in, you were deemed eligible to receive this amount from the class action settlement. The funds contained in the check are a refund of your taxes, recovered by the settlement. The settlement is final.
Yeah, of course.
Depositing this check does not obligate you to any future product or service, and you will not receive any additional correspondence relating to this settlement.
Are you going to deposit it? I mean, you should.
Yeah.
Leave a check like that lying around. So tell us about it.
How much do you think it is?
Oh, I don't know. It's anyone's guess. Alex, you seem to have a figure in mind.
I'm going to say $6.71.
Wow, that's insulting. That's Rob, did you have a guess?
I got to pull the Price is Right move. $1.
Close.
Emma, you want to weigh in?
I don't blame her.
So I missed that.
We're trying to figure out how much Kyle's settlement check from AT&T is for them ripping him off for many years.
It's a sales tax litigation.
Yeah.
For wireless data services.
Oh, $1.29.
Also very close.
Really?
They sent me a check for 31 cents.
31 cents?
I don't think it's worth the paper it's printed on.
I just filled with 19 cents. I'm kicking myself.
It put a smile on my face.
Why do I have optimism?
Yeah. No, I really thank you for the guesses.
But the stamp is worth more than that. Why didn't they just send you the stamp?
It totally is. This reminds me of the old payphone getting change from the operator and
stuff.
Oh,
that's something Rebel could tell you
about. Rebel could have told us all about this. I wish we had more time, we would have talked about it, but we'll talk about it next time.
You call the credit operator, and they'd send you a check, and you get a check for a dime.
All kinds of checks.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Well, congratulations, and make sure you deposit that quickly.
It's going to give me something to do. Yeah.
Emma, it's been great having you on. Any final words you'd like to give to our YouTube audience? Emma, you there?
Sorry, say again. It keeps cutting out.
I just wanted to know if you had any final words as we're signing off from YouTube now.
Yeah. Expect more Russian data tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tell us. So something is being released?
Yep. All I can say is oil pipelines and sanctions, and people will learn more.
Okay, and the site to go to, DDoS Secrets, 1S, well, 1S in the middle and an S at the end, DDoSSecrets.com. You can't tweet the site, it won't work, but you can figure out ways to say it anyway. And everything is pretty much available there via torrents.
Okay. Up in the morning.
What time in the morning?
Hopefully first thing.
Okay. All right.
Look forward to that. Thanks so much for your time and sharing on the latest from what you all have been releasing and putting out there in the world.
Yes, it does make a difference.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Anytime. We hope to see you at Hope as well.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay. Guys, have a good night. Rob and Alex and wherever Gila is and Kyle. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of Off the Hook and Off the Hook Overtime. And thank you to all people listening on YouTube. Write to us, OTH@2600.com. See you next week.